Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yes.
We stay bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And man, have we got some news for you today. It was a pretty newsworthy day for the Clippers.
The rumors were flying around. Clippers adjacent, Clippers specific. It was a big day.
So we're going to open things up talking about a free agent that's recently sort of been linked to have interest with the Clippers, or vice versa. The Clippers have interest in him. And that's Rajon Rondo, which I think you got to feel a little bit conflicted about as a fan.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that as well as what he could bring to this squad. And if there's drawbacks to that. And then it's Thursday. We got to do a Thursday Thursday. We're talking all Paul George today.
Yes.
PG. Big time. So we got to talk about what would thirsty for him to improve to make this next season even better.
Yes, that's a very optimistic way to put it.
And then in Shavings, we're going to be talking about the restart to the season, sort of some Clippers adjacent news. Now the Clippers of Philadelphia. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we got to give a shout out to Rock Auto. This is a Rock Auto pod. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Also, I have to give a shout out to the Los Angeles Dodgers for ending that title drought. We're recording this the day after. What a fun time that was out on Sunset Boulevard. Everyone was having a go at everybody else. That was a good time.
Great time.
I dodged a couple bottle rockets, but all in good fun. So the biggest kind of development today was Mark Stein reported that the Clippers have interest in signing Rajon Rondo. Big part of this is that the Lakers are obviously apparently determined to re-sign Rajon Rondo, but the Clippers are eager to upgrade at point guard. Rondo said he is planning to test the open market, which means he's declining his $2.7 million option for next season. So this feels like there just might be a bidding war between the Clippers and the Lakers for Rajon Rondo, right?
Yes. I mean, it's possible. There's definitely going to be other suitors.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Dallas took another look, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Because, he played there before. They were definitely interested. I think coming off the bench, it makes a little bit more sense. Now that, they have their point guard of the future.
Yeah. Yeah, because that did not go well for Rondo over there.
So, yeah, I say that just to say that, I don't think it's going to necessarily be exclusively a bidding war between these two teams. But
for sure,
it is interesting, that the Clippers have expressed some interest. I don't know if that just helps Rondo with leverage to possibly get a better deal to re-sign with the Lakers.
Good point.
I think that if you're the Lakers organization, there is some pressure to re-sign him. There's got to be pressure to run it back, at least the effective parts, as well as you can after, after winning a championship. So this is one of those things where I guess it could go either way. I could see the Clippers having legitimate interest. He does fit sort of like the guard, the deficiency at guard that we need. He does have the basketball IQ.
Yeah, he's a genius when it comes to floor space and just the point guard position offensively.
Yes, which, Kawhi, it was something Kawhi said that his team needed more. But I also would not be surprised if this is just kind of one of those, I'm air quoting, leaks that happens.
Yeah.
That a player gets linked to the Clippers and they just end up getting a better deal somewhere else.
That's a super good call. Also a point to note that Andrew Greif noted, Ty Lue worked with him when he was on Boston's staff. So there is this familiarity there. And I think, do we think his playing style fits with the Clippers? Because from if he's going to be just pure distribution Rondo, I mean, I don't think the playing style, specifically just the play style, is a bad fit. If we have this Ty Lue instituted offensive system that we think we're going to get with cuts and off-ball stuff, it could work positionally.
Yeah, it could work. I mean, the thing is for me is at this point in his career, Rondo is no longer a starting caliber point guard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's taking Bev's spot.
So
that's the flip, right? Would we want him or Bev starting?
Yeah.
I think it's still Bev.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's just difficult with the second unit. it's difficult for me to gauge how effective Rondo would be in speaking in terms of like strictly functioning in the second unit.
Yeah.
You know, it is nice to not have to have Lou Will handle the ball all the time, mm-hmm. but I'm not quite sure how those two would work in tandem.
Yeah, that's a tough – defensively, that's a little tough.
Yeah, and that also makes it a little bit shakier for Shamit's minutes on that second unit. But, I mean, I don't know. It does check a lot of boxes. Like,
yeah.
Vet guard for sure. High basketball IQ, as you noted earlier, like – he's a smart dude. He understands the game at a very high level, and he can be a facilitator. I guess I do worry a little bit about the miles on him.
For sure, injuries.
And
it brings up a lot of what ifs, I feel like. Like, it's like,
yes, right?
Do you put Bev on the bench with Shamit? Do you bring Shamit up with Ron? Like, it adds like this weird, not like logjam of guards, because it's not like we have a lot anyway, but like their abilities are so different.
Yeah.
If we were to sign Rajon Rondo.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It seems there's just plus and minuses, I suppose, to the fit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess though, if you can get him at, you know, let's say 25% over the vet min, or even 50% over the vet min.
Yeah.
I do feel as though you'd be pretty hard pressed to find another guard with that resume.
Yeah, because he's in pure
price range.
Just win a championship mode. Like, he's declining his $2.7 million option, but how much more is he really going to need to go to either the Clippers or the Lakers, right? Like, because you're going to be competing theoretically for a championship again. Like, the salary can't be that much higher than 2.7, I don't think, unless he's going for like a weird play. Then it's like, just go play for the Hornets or something if you want a bunch of money. Like, and it's funny because Rondo historically always torches the Clippers, specifically from deep. We've seen that happen too many times. I mean, in his playoff stats this season, he shot 40% from three, but you can't count on that, right? Like, you can count on playoff Rondo from a high IQ perspective, but I mean, those threes are just a bonus. Like, I, with recency bias kind of running amok right now, I feel like, with, you know, myself included too, it's hard to kind of look at Rondo on this team without even knowing the identity right now. So I'm not even sure if I want Rondo on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely fair. It's difficult, because the thing is, I guess the other thing that gives me some apprehension is like the disparity between the regular season and the playoffs. And obviously our goal is, you know, is playoff victory. It's the ultimate victory. But if you're looking at a team, that already has some issues with continuity, and like, we're maybe not playing to our full level in the regular season, which I hope is corrected somewhat this year.
For sure.
Adding in another player who, you know, just because of the miles and stuff on him, doesn't necessarily play at that level on a night in, night out basis. Like, I got to kind of start to wonder like how that long-term affects the on-court chemistry, as well as like how people take to that in the locker room.
Yeah. Locker room is a big thing. I don't know a whole bunch about Rondo as a teammate. I know when he was younger, things were maybe a little different when he was in Boston, like pulling off triple doubles in the playoffs and stuff like that. But now it seems like he's probably a pretty good vet. He was just on a team that had hella vets. So maybe he brings some stability. And, you know, like, he knows the game so well, maybe some of it rubs off on Terrence Mann or something like that. But yeah, this is a weird, this is a ring chase.
I do not think he's a developmental guy.
I don't think he is either. That's why I said rub off as opposed to actually teach. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is a bit of a weird and kind of a weird ring chase move on his part, I guess. Like, you already have a couple, like,
yeah, you know, for sure.
Just chill with it. But yeah, it's interesting. And like, on Twitter, it felt like people were kind of split 50-50. Kind of between like meh and no. So,
like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, like, he checks a lot of boxes. It makes sense.
Yeah, like, on paper, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Is this another situation where it's on paper a great fit, but then when we see it all together, like, I'm
we're having just shaking our heads.
Yeah, like, I'm having trouble in my head picturing how this is all going to work together given the current guards that we have.
Yeah.
Unless there's still a trade to be made or something.
Yeah, which who knows? And with everyone kind of saying free agency is going to start in November, but some people say there's already been deals agreed upon. We'll have you guys updated with any more Rajon Rondo bombs from Mark Stein. Coming up, we're going to be talking PG. You know, what we want to see from PG next year. But first, Will, talk to me about these auto parts and, you know, all these hot goss I keep hearing the kids talk about.
All right, so auto parts are notoriously hard to find.
So hard.
You know, you can dig under the bottom of a million cars and never find the right part that you're looking for.
They're never the kind of car I have.
Exactly. Who's the, you know, who knew?
Yeah.
But there is a better way. RockAuto.com can give you all the auto parts you need delivered directly to your door. And they're far more trustworthy than digging underneath somebody else's car, because RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers.
Yeah.
So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, now that we've rocked our auto, we're talking Paul George and this Thirsty Thursday edition, just what we want to see from him next season. I'm going to start this one off on something that people haven't been talking about as much. I want to see him up his commitment on defense.
So I love this. I think that this is I think that this is great. I think that we did see this in the Denver series.
Yeah, not saying it was bad by any means, but it seemed like it kind of got, you know, brushed under the rug how good of a defender Paul George can actually be.
Yes. And I do think that he showed that in that Denver series. And that's one of those reasons that I feel in that series specifically, you can't fault him as being like the sole reason or even the biggest reason that the Clippers were unable to make it past that round. But yeah, I think that that's one of those things that I think that there was an increased offensive pressure on him this year from what I had thought it would be coming into the season.
Yeah.
Basically just due to, you know, like all the variables and all the changing that happened in the roster and the starting lineup due to injuries and everything else that went on. So I think that weirdly, I'm sure it was his mind state as well as even my mind state as a fan. Like, I was looking for his offensive production specifically.
Yeah. Cause it's so good too. Like, that's what's so hard is that, like, both parts of his game are so good. And when the offense is there for Paul George, it's like the smoothest, you know, one of the smoothest kind of games you can watch someone play.
Definitely. And those were like all my biggest criticisms of him during the season. You know, I thought that he was settling for a lot of shots. I didn't think he was being as aggressive getting into the rim as he could be. I've talked about it a bunch of times. I didn't think that like his creation off the dribble was where I had expected it to be.
Yeah.
But I do think that really everything comes back to that defensive end. And I think that that's a spot where he is so good that even, you know, if he is having like a rough mental go or a shooting slump or whatever is happening on the offensive end, he can still use his, you know, like his incredible basketball IQ and positioning as well as just physical strength to make things happen on that defensive end.
Yeah.
And hopefully like bolster his confidence back up if he's having issues offensively.
Yeah. And it's funny because when, you know, we want him to up his defense, but it's almost hard when you're playing, when you're sharing the court with Kawhi Leonard, who can do things like take the ball from Boban just whenever he wants type stuff. So like, I think Kawhi's greatness at defense kind of overshadows Paul George, but I don't think like at peak Paul George is as good as Kawhi maybe is consistently, but they're still, you know, not as good as Kawhi is still pretty damn good at defense if you're a basketball player in the NBA. And you know, Ty Lue has said in his introductory press conference that all of this kind of starts on the defensive end. So I'm excited to see what Ty Lue, from a scheme perspective, can unlock from Paul George coming up.
Definitely. Definitely.
What else do we want to see Paul George work on?
I mean, I've said it a bunch of times on this podcast. I just want to see him take some accountability.
Yeah. So I think a weird line, right? Like I have a note in here. Like, do we want him to commit to be a leader, or should he just be the number two? Like, I want him to commit to one side, I guess.
I don't even think it has to be that. I think if he felt inclined to step up as the leader of this locker room, I do think that people would fall in line and would listen to him. I don't know that he's going to do that. I do think that he's pretty happy to defer. I just want him to take some accountability, though. I mean, like, he is a part of this team, and whether he's the number one or the number two or the number three or whatever he is, he's a huge part of this team that gave up a large part of its future to get him.
Yes.
And they're expecting him to provide certain things. And that's not even just a box score. That's not even just, you know, a certain offensive output or whatever. It's, you know, like, it's a certain attitude and mentality that he needs to bring to that locker room.
Yeah,
and
you're a superstar, right? Like, he has Gatorade commercials. He has all of this stuff.
Yes.
It's like this weird breed of, like, I'm a superstar, but, like, kind of. Like,
hey, look over there.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
He's running away. No, and like, that's kind of a nebulous thing to say or whatever, but he needs to bring that. Like, that part of a championship mentality starts with just the mentality.
Great point. Oh, shit. That's bars.
And I just think that wasn't there. And I know that part of that has to do with, like, the uncertainness of coming back from an injury and then, you know, really having to prove it yourself and then really having to figure out what the fit is between you and Kawhi. And if neither of you are the vocal leader of the locker room, then who is? And I think that's all well and fine. And once again, he doesn't have to be the de facto leader. I'm just saying, man, you got to step up and take some accountability for what you are responsible for. And that needs to be clear to the other guys on the court too. Hey, I'm PG.
Me.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
This is what I bring. What do you bring?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I think if he can just bring that, like, I think I do legitimately think everything else will fall in place. He's too good of a player for it not to.
Yeah, the clarity, I think, is so, because that was a big issue again. A lot of this stuff, it's funny how much of kind of Paul George's struggles come down to the fact that we didn't, like, no one really had clarity, right? Like, in terms of system on both sides of the ball. So now that he has this opportunity to have a coach like Ty Lue who might really just nail this shit all down, he could definitely turn into that. Another big thing I want, and this is, I guess, is more of a team issue, more three-pointers attempted, and Paul George is a huge part of that. Like, the Clippers were 16th in three-point attempts last year. We gave up the 27th most and gave up the fifth worst percentage for opposing team shooting from three, which is never good. But he went from 9.8 three-point attempts a game to 7.9 from 2018, 19 to 19-20. From 2018 to 2019 and then 2019 to 2020. The percentage, he shot 38% on almost 10 a game and then 41% on just under 8 a game, right? But I want him to have double digits for attempted threes per game the whole season. I don't see why that can't happen.
Yeah. You want him to have double digit attempts from three?
Yes. I want him to have 10. I'm not saying like 12, but like, I think 9.8, I'll take 9.8, but it's just possible. And if we have this true point guard or whatever, not necessarily Rajon Rondo, I don't mean it like that. I think it's doable in an actual system.
I don't know. I actually don't know. I think with Kawhi on the floor at the same time, I think that's a lot of his touches solely devoted to threes. And I guess if it's there, I'm fine with that.
Because there might be staggering too, right? Like,
yeah. But I mean, there's still only, you know, there's still only so many touches regardless of the staggering.
That's fair.
I mean, once again, there's so many variables, right? Like, it depends on the quality of the shot that he's getting. If it's the best available shot, yeah, I think that's great. I'm happy with that. I'm actually pretty happy with that eight range, around eight threes a game, because I want to see him still find other ways to work.
That's fair. Yeah, so like the contact issue, like forcing the contact was a big issue this year. where it's like you could get that contact if it wasn't clear from the second you got the ball in your hands that you're trying to force contact.
Yeah, and he needs to get to the line more, man. Like, it's just if you want to be a consistent, you know, above 20 point per game scorer, as he knows how to be and has been for the entirety of his career.
Yeah,
at a certain point, like, a lot of that has to come from the line if you're going to be doing it on a night in, night out basis.
That's a good point. Free throw attempts going up is a great thing to want from him too.
And that's something that carries over in the playoffs. Like, if you learn how to get, like, if you not even learn how, because he knows how. I'm just saying, like, if you just get back into the rhythm of getting to your spots and being able to draw contact and, like, do it not in the worst poker player of all time way.
Oh, man, I'm going to go all in. I hope you don't go all in, too, because I got a really good hand.
Pretty good hand over here. I just think that it's like I keep coming back to this thing that Ty Lue said, that he wants guys to get to spots that they're comfortable in. And, you know, if that for Paul George is from three, then I'm fine with that. I'll live with that. I personally think that he can bring a lot more to the table to that. And I'd like to see him getting into his other spots and being comfortable in those rhythms. You know,
comfort is a great thing too, actually. I think that's a great broad thing just for PG next year. Look more comfortable out there.
Yeah. Especially with the ball in your hand, man. I know I keep harping on this, but, like, if we're not going to have a traditional point guard, and I got to be honest with you, from what it's looking like right now, I don't think by the start of the season, we're going to have in the starting lineup another primary facilitator.
Yeah.
My man, you're going to have to do a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
And you can. He can is the thing. It's so not like funny. This is impossible or we're making this up. He's done it before.
The pieces are there. It's the clarity and comfort that needs to happen. Let us know what you think or what you want from Paul George. Let's try and keep a little civil. Some people have gotten pretty mean about what they want to see from Paul George next season. Coming up, we got shavings. We're talking possible schedule conflicts and some old Clipper news.
Okay, so we're back with shavings.
Yes.
And I guess there's a conflict essentially going on with the scheduling right now. Obviously, the NBA, they want to get the season started before Christmas Day. Christmas Day is, you know, one of the biggest NBA days. So we've heard
December 25th, for those who maybe forgot.
Yes. And we've heard the 22nd as a possible start date for actual games to begin for the NBA. It seems like the players are pushing for January 18th, which is Martin Luther King Day, and free agency would start on December 1st. This plan, to me, makes sense given the timeline from where the season ended or the playoffs ended. But I think it's going to be really hard to talk both the broadcast networks as well as the owners out of Christmas Day games. Like, Christmas Day NBA is kind of a tradition. My thing that I've always posed since the end of the season is, why not just have a couple of preseason games on Christmas Day?
They'll get the viewership.
I have to be honest with you, man. There's no difference at this point in most NBA preseason games from a regular season game. Most people are still playing their starters. Maybe they don't play them 35 minutes, but, you know, you're still seeing everybody out there and teams still treat it like a regular season game. But there is the option to, you know, rest guys a little bit more, and it doesn't necessarily have to affect your record.
So, and that's what's like, I don't know if people have been following this too much, but apparently if they start after December 22nd, they make $500 million less than if they started on December 22nd, which is like, the way that that was reported was like so nonchalant that it was like, okay, so it's going to start on December 22nd then, because these owners, apparently there was a 10% loss from this season, which, like, kind of makes sense given the insanity that was last or this current time we're living in.
Oh, I mean, it super makes sense. Just if you, you know, you lose obviously all the ticket sales and all the live event stuff. And then you're also, I mean, minus the opportunity cost, plus you're investing in this bubble thing.
Yeah.
So it does make sense that you would be operating at a loss on last season.
For sure. So to me, it's like LeBron James is apparently one of the star players. It's a substantial faction of players and star players who wants to start on MLK Day, which would be great. Like, the opening season on MLK weekend, Lucas Hahn, I think, tweeted about this. Like, I mean, they'd have everything. Like, the viewership would be nuts. It feels like there might be, I mean, this might be more of a fight than I guess I initially thought it was going to be. Like, I didn't feel like it was going to be this maybe contentious, but it just seems like it's setting up for a pretty big battle.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about each owner potentially losing 15 plus million.
Yeah. And the Rockets owner needs that. So
yeah, Fertitta needs that over, you know, the period of a few weeks. Obviously, to the players' benefit, they have, you know, probably one of the strongest player unions in sports. And I do think that they'll have some more control over the situation to make it favorable for their to their circumstance. And I actually think that this is a great idea. I mean, MLK Day, 3-day weekend for most folks. You know, I think that it makes sense to start there, especially given how late the season ended. I will personally be a little bit bummed that there won't be basketball on Christmas, but you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Do I know that it's Christmas time at all?
Do they? Also, I think we need to throw out this free agency commencement on any date, because free agency starts as soon as the damn final whistle's blown after the finals. Like, free agency starts as soon as that's done, I feel like, among agents all that stuff.
Tampering isn't real.
No. All right, moving on to old Clippers news. The 76ers continue to make questionable decisions. They hired Daryl Morey, who is very good at his job and helped kind of reshape in part how the NBA is played, to pair with someone who was so anti-analytics they played Montrezl Harrell that much against Jokic, with Doc Rivers. Like, Morey and Doc Rivers are going to hate each other, I think, right?
I'm curious to see what happens. I think that it's interesting because I'm curious to see how Morey adapts his approach a little bit, because, you know, he does also puts a high emphasis on threes, as everybody knows, but also on shots at the rim.
Yeah.
And they do have a lot of big guys, and I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities to try and exploit both contact as well as shots at the rim.
Ben Simmons is going to crush with Daryl Morey also, I think.
Yeah, so like, I think that – yeah, I do think that Morey's going to have to adapt his approach a little bit, which is exciting.
Good call.
And then as to how it'll work with Doc, I mean, I don't know. He's pretty hesitant to make adjustments, but, you know, if Morey's the guy who's building, you know, the skeleton, if he's the one who is putting all the pieces in front of Doc.
So it's Moneyball. It's going to be like, you need to play this guy. And Doc's like, right? No. And they're like, well, we just traded his ass, Doc.
essentially, yes. Like, I think that if, and who knows, you know, like, I still don't even know the amount of autonomy Daryl Morey is going to get in that front office. Like,
it's a whole mess.
I do not understand a lot of the decisions they're making, but hey, I hope the best for them. But if Morey is able to, you know, install a system in a way that can complement the pieces that they have, we'll see what Doc can do with that. It's definitely going to be a different style, obviously, than Houston, but I'm interested to see how it affects the roster. And then I guess whatever Doc's willingness to change his system or lack thereof will be.
Yeah, that's a good call. And also, Sam Cassell reported to be joining Doc Rivers' staff. I think that's not a big surprise to anybody. No word on Rex Kalamian's future yet. I was happy for Sam Cassell. You know, obviously still has a job. Still gets to go to a good team, be with Doc. But, man, I'm curious to see what losing the light of Sam Cassell is like for the Clippers.
Oh, I'm going to be bummed out.
Yeah, I think a lot of Clippers Nation is bummed, but alas, this is what happens. And I hope Kalamian lands on his feet.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's got connections. He'll be fine. Him and that one dangly earring, he'll be all good. Anything else in shavings we want to talk about?
No, let's get out of here.
Friday's episode, we're gonna have some possible free agent acquisitions broken down, maybe some more draft talk too, a love Mary quarantine, and of course whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, can these people find us anywhere online, and if so, where?
Yes, you can find us online. We are on iTunes as well as the podcast app.
Yep.
We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, hey, maybe give us a 5-star review. We'd like that as well. We'll probably read it on air. Thank you so much for rocking with us. We've got a bunch of stuff coming up. The season may be beginning in December, maybe beginning in January, but either way, we're going to be here for you 5 days a week.
Hell yes. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.